Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow with just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbisn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
And here we go again. Hello, I'm Terry Smith, your host. Your fellow host, your co-host here, Angela, will join us shortly. She's going to be with us just momentarily. But for now, welcome to another month of Surviving Head Trauma on the Brain Injury Radio Network. It's been 4 weeks since we were all together. Hope everyone's well, wherever you are, morning, noon, or night. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whether you're listening to us live or on an archived show, we want to welcome you once again. We really do welcome you because you are our show. You bring the topics each month. We talk about whatever you write to us to discuss or call in and discuss. And looking at the switchboard, I see we have Angela. I think Angela has joined us. Let's get her on the line with us and see how she's doing. Angela, welcome. It's been a month. How are you?
Good, Terry. Coming straight to you live from Los Angeles, California.
So we're opposite ends of the country now. I'm on the East Coast and you're on the West Coast. All right.
Yep, you got it.
How's your trip going so far?
So far, so good. I came out to see my mom for her birthday, and she had eye surgery, so I came out here for that, and I leave tomorrow morning, so this is my last day.
Well, I hope that the eye surgery was a treat for her birthday. Was it a cosmetic thing or lens eye sharpening thing?
Necessity.
Necessity
thing for her eyelids.
Well, I hope it's okay. Is everything okay?
But it does cosmetic. No? Yeah, everything's good. She's healing nicely.
Well, good.
How have you been? Well,
it's been a busy month. I mean, things are kind of back to normal here in Florida. We are no longer under a mask mandate. Only private companies are requiring it, and some of them are not. So it's like almost back to normal here, if you're vaccinated, that is.
Yeah.
What about there? What's the temperature in California?
Before I left.
What's it like there in California?
I mean, everybody still has to wear masks and things like that. They've opened up the insides of restaurants and bars and things like that, but they're getting back to normal too.
Okay. Is there a state mandate still in California?
I believe so.
Yeah. Well,
everybody still has to wear masks.
Really? Okay. Well, I tell you, I had to go outside the other day, and I was out most of the day, and I was required to wear it, and I couldn't imagine how people who have to wear that all day do it. You know, working at home.
Oh,
you don't
me either.
You know, right? So I couldn't relate until I was forced to be outside where it was required before the mandate here. And I have a lot of appreciation for our first responders and those people who work on the front lines in areas where the vaccination rate is not as high as it hopefully will become, and put their lives, I mean, their health at stake, at risk.
Right.
If they have to wear that mask all day, right? So hats off to you. And to you for going out there to celebrate your mom's life. Birthdays are special, right?
Yeah, it was wonderful. She had a great time.
All right. Well, good. We have a list of things to discuss tonight. We have a thing where I've started doing. In fact, I wanted to talk with you. For our listening audience, if you don't know this or not, Angela and I have been doing the show together for, 2 years now, Angela? Maybe 2 years?
Coming
more,
up
maybe
on
more.
It, yeah.
Yeah, and we don't talk during the week, during the month that much. Occasionally we'll like touch bases, but usually our conversations on the air with you is just a fresh dialogue between the two of us. So we get to say hello to each other at the same time as we get to say hello to you, our listening audience. So I'll share with our listening audience something that you might find interesting as a surviving head trauma listener. You might either have a head trauma, know someone with a head trauma, or just trying to understand it better. So I also want to share this with you, Angela. It's something that we sometimes look for topics on the show to discuss. We rely usually on audience members, either by writing in to us or calling in. But what I've started doing now is in my calendar on my iPhone, in the calendar section, on the day of our show, where I type in a live burn show, Brain Injury Radio Network show. And mm-hmm. under notes, I go in, and whatever during the month hits my attention, I make a note in here. So that way, the night of the show, mm-hmm. we have a list of things to discuss. So if you have a memory issue, that's a great way for you out there listening to keep track of things in your journal. We used to write in pen and paper in a journal. This calendar in your phone is a great journal, right? Each time you put an entry in your appointment book. You know what? We do, because we're from that generation, but I bet a lot of the younger people who are new to this world and trying to cope with memory functions, you have a perfectly good memory tool in your hand, the palm of your hand, the iPhone. Or I don't know what the Galaxy parallel is, the counterpoint, the counter phone app is, but there's a notes in iPhone that, I mean, not notes, but the calendar in iPhone. Yeah, where you can keep mm-hmm. notes in each day's entry. Which takes me to within the notes I talked about since last month. So we never talked about the geriatric issues last month. Remember we said we were talking about when we were older?
We were going to, and then we were also going to talk to, my mom was calling, and we were going to talk to her about that too. And after she had her stroke, remember? We talked about that, bringing that up.
We have 2 hours now. So we got another, my other entry is waking up for the first time in weeks with a good night's sleep. The world is anew. Find a way to sleep all the way through night after night. It literally makes a world of difference. Apparently, I had my first great night of sleep, and I felt like a new person the next day. So we want to talk tonight about the importance, the germane urgency for a good night's sleep when you can get it. And here's also, in reference to last month's show, it isn't a question of what might kill us, what's bad for us. It's a question of how do we want to live. Everyone's going to die. I think that goes back to the topic we were covering. And in my notes here, we're talking about what's good for us and what's bad for us, what might kill us earlier and what might kill us sooner and all that. And I think we can go over that tonight too. And
cool.
Let's see. I have one here. The longer we take, no. This is. I don't know how this got on. It's a personal thing. I should not read that out loud in the air. I should not. So come ride with us while we ride the airwaves. You ready, Angela?
I am ready.
You ready? All right. Let's let the people who help people. By the way, if you live in the United States, there is a Brain Injury Association network near you. A Brain Injury Association chapter, rather, near you. So right now I'm going to let them have the floor for just a moment. We'll be right back in 37 seconds.
A brain injury can change the way you think, the way you act, the way you move, and the way you feel. If you or someone close to you has experienced a brain injury, you are not alone. More than 2.5 million children and adults sustain brain injuries in the United States each year. For help, call the Brain Injury Association of America at 1-800-444-6443, on the web at www.biausa.org. Get the help you need today.
BIAUSA.org. Want to try it? You want to do it?
No.
BIAUSA.org.
USA.org. Okay, I got
there
it.
There you
go. I'm not
going
to say it right now, but I...
All right. Hey, it's only 7:10 there. What time's your flight in the morning?
I leave at 10:15.
Oh, okay. So you're not strapped for time. Well, let's jump in then. You want to start, or do you want to pull something out here? We talked about the topic.
Let's start with something in the archives. Bring something out from the archives.
Okay, let's see if we can pull some. We have something that relates to something we talked about here about death. Let's see. How do you handle rage? How do you sleep? Here's one. How do you sleep and stay asleep? That fits in perfect with my notes from last week. Let's see. Here's a writer, not a writer, but someone who wrote in. Christy. Christy says, will my brain ever let me sleep through 4 or 5 a.m.? That's probably what really brought me to her thing. That's my time. 4 or 5 a.m. is when I start.
That's when you wake up?
Yeah. Without hesitation. If I go to sleep at 2 a.m., 4 or 5, wake up. Do you have a lot of people on the spectrum on the other side of this have one of two. They either can't sleep, they're insomniacs, or they can't stop sleeping. They're just constantly fatigued. So, where do you fit somewhere in the middle or one of the extremes?
Well, I'm kind of extreme both ways actually, because I have a hard time falling asleep, and you and I have talked about this before. But I have a lot of help from different medications that I take. Prescribed medications that I take that helps me to sleep, but because it's really hard for me to fall asleep. But then once I fall asleep, then I just want to sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep once I get there.
So you don't have trouble because of medicinal aid, but I tell you that's a tough one because I've lived on both sides of the spectrum too. It's a tough one because when you can't sleep without aid, it's just like you're going for days, it seems. Literally, three, 4 days, I've gone without aid when I was new, 30 something years ago. But let's see what some fellow listeners replied to. What's your name, Christy? Let's see what they have to say to Christy. Same here, sister. So someone agrees. I almost dread checking my phone when I wake up, and it's like I know it'll be 4:14. Hey, that's a magical hour. I guess a lot of us have that time four and five every day. Another one says, I wake up 2 times to go to the bathroom. This ain't living, but at least I'm here. Another one says, I can't get up in the middle of the night, or I have to put on a brace, so I hold it until morning. Oh, no, it's hard. Can you imagine? That's right. A lot of people can't just get up and go, right? I know the feeling.
Right.
I guess life is what you make of it between bathroom breaks. Okay. Earlier, after 3 months till 8, I go the width in most, I'm not sure it's a typo, I think, but right now, anyway, everyone's here saying that it's 4 and 5 a.m., and someone just brought it to our attention that, if you're in a brace situation or you can't walk as freely or access, you're even
stuck.
More in it. Yeah, so here's another one that says, I don't know, I'm wishing I got any kind of sleep because here it is 5:14 a.m., and haven't yet been able to sleep. My mind just runs. Me too. I can't stand this.
Me too.
So hopefully, sometimes I wake up between 3 and 5, can't go back to sleep. Sometimes I can't sleep till then, and sometimes not till light out. I can't sleep even then. Sometimes not at all. I preferred the consistency in the middle years. Since I'm up 2, here the same, woke up at 4. Most of the days I wake up between 4:30 and 5. Oh, my goodness, look at this. Everyone is waking up at the same time. Maybe it's something with us. I don't know. But no one had a solution. No, I haven't read any solutions. My personal experience, I have to resort to you, Angela. You seem to have the answer, medication. I don't know.
The bad side of that is I think that with me, with the medication that I take, because my boyfriend says this all the time, because he's like, I don't know how you get up after you take your medication. Because I take one medication for sleep, but it's also for depression. And then I take another one that's an anxiety pill that also helps me sleep. I take both of those. And he's like, I don't know how you get up. But the thing is on the downside is that maybe that is what's keeping me from getting up in the morning early. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's making me drag throughout the day and in the morning,
I'm sure,
not wanting to be motivated.
Do you have to take those during the day as well or just at night?
No.
You said one
at night.
Shouldn't one just at night. Okay. Well, I'm sure they contribute to your fatigue because I tell you, I reduced one of my meds that was for slowing down my neurons, right? Now they were just too slow and I was just zombie-like, could not function well enough. So reducing the medication, I was more alert and awake. And I can guarantee I can see a clear difference when I lifted the drugs. You're talking about sleep and depression and anxiety. Yeah, those are sedatives, more or less. So that's certainly contributing to the.
My mom and I were actually having this conversation the other night, and she was telling me, because we were talking about my medication and taking sleeping pills and stuff, and she said that she started taking something she takes it, I don't know if she takes it regularly or not, but she takes melatonin, and they've really, really done wonders with melatonin now. It used to just be something that, it was an aid, but it really didn't help you sleep all that much. Now it's like it must be something, something that's really come a long way. So, melatonin is all natural.
Yeah, there's some good things about it. How long has she been using it?
I'm not sure.
But it works
for
her.
I could ask her, but she's in the other room.
Okay.
She's in the other room.
I'm all for the natural. I like the natural. I prefer natural over pharmaceutical if possible.
I know you do.
Yeah, but chamomile tea. Chamomile tea. If you're a tea person.
That's another sleeping aid. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then they have other things too, like no TV in your bedroom, no watching TV before you go to bed if you have a hard time sleeping. And they say if you're in, say you're in the living room watching TV and the lights are on, you want to dim the lights so that your body can start to adjust to you going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Different things like that.
Well, in fact, it's smarter TVs. If you have a newer TV, there's a light sensor. And I've noticed in one of the TVs here. Yeah, the darker it gets in the room, the darker the screen becomes. It lowers the light level, the light intensity. Right. So that's, again, proving what you just said. So the closer you get to the desired time of sleep, begin earlier, lowering that light, in your phone is a major distraction of the eyes, simulating all that energy, that light. So that's one thing. Hey, someone on our switchboard has pressed one. Oh, by the way, listen, you know what we haven't done? We haven't told our listening audience how to reach us this month. For regular listeners, you know how to redo it. But for you, if you're new, you may call the studio area code. Well, if you're out of the country, out of the United States, it's country code 1. If you're inside the United States, we are area code 424-243-9540. And once you're on the switchboard, there are a lot of people on here tonight. But if you'd like to speak, press 1 on your phone. Angela, we have someone with their hand up. You ready to say hello?
I'm ready.
Let's see what they have. Here we go. We don't know what we're going to get. Let's see what we're going to get. All right. Let's see. Area code 310. Area code 310, you are on the air.
It's my mom.
It's your mom. Hi. She's laughing. She's a little worried about you. Hi.
I'm in the other room. I had to step in to just say hi. And you won't be able to tell the difference between Angie's voice and my voice. We laugh alike. We talk alike. We fool everybody and cracks us up sometimes. But anyway, I'm Sheila. I'm Angela's mother. And she's here visiting me. And about the melatonin that you were talking about, I haven't been taking it that long. But man that I respect, he's a chiropractor, and he is so, smart. He knows everything, a lot about a lot of stuff, and that makes sense to me, And to me, it has to kind of make sense. I know anatomy, and I know this and that, and especially to you. And I didn't think anything about melatonin, and I had taken it years ago, and I just kind of had weird dreams. I don't think I really fell asleep. And so I didn't really think that was cool. But they have these, that are dissolvable. And, and in 15 minutes, exactly where you stand. And, I've, been going to sleep at that. Or I'm kind of not there, and I take another one. And it's not, you can take up to, 4 or 5, And you say, I take the second one. And it's great, but you have that chance because the fast-acting melatonin, the dissolvables, you know in 15 minutes exactly, how you feel.
Now, Sheila, let me ask you, do you get these from a doctor or do you buy them at the GNC store? Where do you buy them? How do you get them?
They're over the counter.
Over the counter, where? Any drugstore?
A CVS, anywhere.
Anywhere. Ralph, so is it in the drugstore, like
Ralph,
the vitamin section department? The vitamin
well,
section?
Well, you know, where you get, you know, Tylenol and all of this stuff. You know, sleep aids. But,
is
you
like
know,
a capsule?
I really...
Or liquid?
Yeah, we have different ones. We have 3 milligrams to 5. And, you know, I have the 5-milligram dissolvable. But to me, I like it because you can control the way you feel, you know?
Wait, when you control the way you feel, I thought it was for sleeping. So it's more for how you feel? What do you mean?
Yeah, it's like, you know, well, if you you can't sleep, you take, you know, I'll take one of those dissolves. And in 15 minutes, I know, you know, I'm really kind of sleepy.
Whether you need to take another one.
Yeah, or whether I need to take another one. And it's not like that's a real high dosage or anything. So I like the fact that you can control, you know, if, you know, instead of taking, say, PM Tylenol or something like that, and you just knock you out. You know?
Okay. Well, how are you now? We heard you had eye surgery. How's your...
I've got little purple eyes, you know, and I thought it was going to be a lot worse, and because I'd heard all these people say, but my doctor thought, you know, I could see better, and I'm the most... Not, I'm called the non-invasive Sheila because I don't want anything invasive, you know. Let's try a little bit or let's, you know, try something else. But I agreed and, you know, and it looks, you know, they did a very, very nice job and it's at my hospital. I don't want to plug anybody, but Kaiser Hospital is what I, you know, and I know you've got to be in Florida too, so.
Oh, yeah,
anyway.
I remember Kaiser in California. But happy birthday also. Happy birthday. I hope
it... Oh, well, thank you. It was wonderful. I mean...
Angela treating you right? She's taking care of you?
Oh, well, she's done whatever I needed. And that's, you know, the most perfect.
That's
and,
our angel. You know, that's our angel. Angel
yes,
Angela.
That's her. Oh, gosh. Really, the last year, you know, 2 days after my birthday, I had, you know, and it was in COVID, heavy-duty COVID. Nobody could be around or whatever. And... I had a stroke 2 days later, so this is a great birthday.
All right. Well, let's hope we keep it going the rest of the week. It's Thursday, so close to the weekend. Get up through the whole weekend to celebrate, right?
It's over. Angie's leaving in the morning.
You keep it going.
That's when the party's over.
Angie, you leave a little sunshine behind. You leave a little bit of that angel sprinkle.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, she's gone.
You know what, Sheila, I thank you. I'm going to put melatonin on the list here to try because
yeah.
Those
and
nights
you
come,
know,
it's hard, man. You're counting sheep doesn't work anymore.
Oh, right? Yeah. And I've tried, you know, counting sheep, stuff like that. And also, if you concentrate on not concentrating on anything.
Clearing the mind? How do you do that? That's a great one. That sounds like a pharmaceutical job.
Concentrate on nothing. And it's work. It's really work.
It takes lots of practice, right? Lots of meditation.
Yeah. To get the sheep. But anyway, I'll let everybody else talk. And,
all right, chill.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Tomorrow.
You enjoy your birthday
so
and continue healing. Yes.
Thank you. And nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
You too.
I love you, Mommy. I'll see you in a minute.
I know. I love you too, baby. Bye-bye. Bye. See how we sound alike? You see how we sound alike?
Brought to us by Hallmark. Yes, you guys are virtually twins.
Right.
Virtual twins. All right. You know what? It's good that you might. I was not anticipating that. I did not expect to hear her sound so upbeat and so well. She sounds great.
You said that right after her stroke last year, too.
So your mom is a strong, you're from a strong genetic background, huh? You're going to be great.
You better believe it.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to do it great. Hey, someone else wants to talk. We have someone. You want to take another caller right now, Angela?
Yes, of course.
Your mom was great. Let's hope our next caller is equally as great. All right, area code 973. Get ready. You're about to be brought on the air. Area code 973. You're live. Hello.
Hey, it's Kelly Jones. How are you tonight?
KJ, I know who this is. Hi, KJ. How are you?
Good, good, good. Happy today.
All right. You're happy today. Angela.
Yeah.
Meet KJ.
Yes.
Kelly Jones. Yes.
Hi, KJ.
She's a survivor. She survived an aneurysm.
Oh, wow.
But I'm going to let you lead, KJ. You just called. So how are you? What's going on? Talk to us.
Actually, you guys were talking about sleep items, and I was going to say two things, and I know it's going to sound really, really crazy, but sometimes part of, you know, sleeping is just enabling your body to relax and, you know, de-stress. And one of the things that I do is I use Vicks. I put Vicks underneath my nostrils and Vicks on my temples, and it just seems to, you know, I guess, you know, take away some of the stress.
Wait, Vicks vapor rub, like for colds?
Yeah.
A little bit under the nose and on your chest, like when we're sick?
Well, that would make sense.
Your temple, you said your temple. Temple. And that works for you? Really?
Because they say peppermint is soothing.
Like in a
so
tea?
That would make sense.
A tea, a peppermint tea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even
like
chamomile. An incense or, yeah, just like an oil or something like that. That makes sense. Yeah.
Aromatherapy.
Yeah, some people use lavender. But
lavender. So aromatherapy was what you guys are saying, really. So Vicks is the choice of a scent, the lavender, various scents. So aromatherapy, that's a good one, because when you think about it, when you go to the spa, you have the aromatherapy for your spa even. So why not put you to sleep with it? So that's another one.
Yeah,
exactly.
What about pharmaceutical? KJ, how do you feel about pharmaceutical aid with sleeping? You prefer just the natural, or do you engage with the pharmaceutical idea sometimes?
I do not engage in the pharmaceutical idea. I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of corny. My dad was a tobacco farmer, and he did not believe in doing anything, putting any chemicals in his body. So he had a natural remedy for everything. And Vicks was actually one of those homemade remedies that would help you relax at night, kind of
the
Vicks therapy. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I like your dad. I agree with your dad.
Also,
yes.
I'm also that person that if I have like a half a glass of wine or a full glass of wine, I'm asleep. Like, I will sit there and I will actually talk to you. And while we're talking, you can see me fade and fall asleep.
That's
one way to do it, right?
I'm the opposite
when it comes to that. When I have a glass of wine, it wakes me up.
You
really?
Get started, right? You
yes.
really turn it up, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
like,
I tell you.
It makes me like a cheap date because they don't have to worry about buying a second drink, right?
especially one glass of wine, that's it, huh? Well, I tell you, another thing is physical exercise is hard work, or doing some strenuous exercise or work for bedtime and showering. That's one of the things I found works also. Just tire the body out, literally, like kids. You make them play until they tire out and sleep all night. As adults, we can do the same thing. If we're mobile, someone we just read about made us consciously aware that some people aren't mobile, so we have to find a way, if you're not mobile, to get that heart rate up and exercise and get yourself tired. As long as you get tired, I think the aromatherapy and sleep will come naturally. Your body will just give out. Like the little kids do, they just pass out.
Something that just came to my mind, too, you had mentioned journaling before about, like, different things or whatever, and that was something back, this was a while ago, it was in the beginning of my brain injury, you know, at the first year or two. But I would write things down at the end of the night because I would have so much in my brain that it was almost like purging my brain, whether it was things to do or things I experienced or just whatever the case may be, just writing stuff down or typing it down, whatever you want to put on the computer or whatever. But just putting that stuff down and getting it out of your brain really helps to calm your mind and calm yourself, period. So that's
right.
Another
that's
idea.
A therapy. Yeah. So writing. Mm-hmm. You know what? And you just brought us to one we'd overlook. And if we were playing Family Feud right now, we'd probably be in the top two or three. Reading. Get a boring book
yes.
and start reading.
With
dim light. Don't not too much light. Just enough to see the words. KJ, anything else for us with sleeping? Because you have so much background. You've been, KJ is also an interviewer. She hosts her own. She's video though. She actually puts her beautiful face out to be seen. We're behind the microphone in our home studios, but she's video interview. You've interviewed so many people. Kelly. Mm-hmm. How does you're probably been exposed to a lot of athletes too, because you deal with athletes who had significant issues and overcome things in sports as a motivation. So in your interviewing time, can you think of any other tips from athletes who may have had issues with sleeping or sleep aids? I'm sure they're under a lot of stress with sports.
Athletes and moms. And one thing that you guys have both mentioned, the top two. So number one, with regards to writing and making notes, like you said, communication.
Yeah.
Communication is the key thing. So I think what happens a lot of times with athletes, from what they were saying, is that they, they just have so many different audiences that they try to accommodate. You know, they don't want to disappoint anyone, whether it be the parents, the friends, you know, fans, whoever it may be. They just have so many people that they try to accommodate. So when they don't have that opportunity to communicate everything that's going on, they are still, they're going to bed with everything that they need to get done or all the people that they need to, to service.
Satisfied.
And being a lot of them are role models too. So being a role model, I'm sure, plays a lot if they're stressed.
Yeah. Well, once again, like I said, they don't want to disappoint anyone. So,
right.
You know, if a loved one asks for something, they feel that onus to, like, you know, when before they made it to stardom, before they were, you know, at the level that they're at, there are certain people that help them along the way. So even if somebody, like, you know, I know I'm going to say something, but even somebody, like, tied their shoes, you know, they remember the person that tied their shoes. And when they're older, or when they are successful, they just feel certain obligations. You know, they feel like they have to accommodate those people and live their dreams, live out the dreams of other people that other people have for them. So one of the things that I've heard over and over again is finding someone to communicate with, and it could be someone that you knew early on before you reached your stardom. So if you find ways to continuously communicate things that are going on, getting that validation, the affirmation along the way, then what happens is during that downtime, you can really enjoy the downtime instead of, once again, thinking about all the layers of obligation that you have along the way. So communicating and getting it out, writing, as you said, expressing yourself. The funniest thing is for me is, and my daughter laughs all the time, I have, like, postcards and stickies all over the place. So when something comes to mind,
post-it notes.
I write it down, or I will even, like, if I'm driving, I will pull over on the side of the road. I mean, I don't care where I'm going. I'll pull over on the side of the road, take out my phone, and I'll text, you know, or type whatever it is to my daughter to make sure that I get those notes off my. So when I go to bed at night, I have very, very little on my plate because, like I said, I do it all the time during the day.
You purge all throughout the day.
You just said just made it click. Everything you just said before just now just fell into place, and I understand what you're saying now. I think I can say it in a sentence. Clear your mind. Communicate. Get it off your chest, either written form or talking to someone. That's a therapy, I guess. Yeah, like we go to therapists and pay them hundreds of dollars an hour sometimes, and just to get things off our chest in a daily basis. What you're saying, is that close?
It could be daily, hourly. It could be depending on how many things you have to get done. And
don't carry around
a load
on your mind. Clear your chest. Clear head.
Every chance you get. Because if it's empty, there's a less of a chance of it getting clogged. Think of a filter. You know, if you can continuously empty, there's less of a chance of it getting clogged. So that was one of the big things. And I can't. The other thing was, but whatever it was something that you guys had already stated. So the key is
sharing,
getting it.
That's the thing. Not everyone has that outlet. So you're fortunate if you do have someone in your life you can talk with, because oftentimes we hear people tell us how lonely they are, how isolated they are because of their brain trauma or other brain issues that keeps them isolated, hermits, recluse, if you will. So you're fortunate if you have that audience or that friend with an open ear So if you don't have that person, like you said, writing, you can always write alone and be surprised at the therapy of expressing and yelling on paper. So yes.
Well, and my mom takes care of a 92-year-old man, and the older he's gotten, the more reclusive he's tried to become. But because she wants him to stay lively and keep going, she tries to keep him talking on a regular basis to keep his mind working, because that makes his mind work. You know what I mean?
I mean, other than being old,
exactly.
Is he in basically good health?
But also talking. I mean, if he just shuts down and stops talking, period, then, you know, he's got one foot in, you know?
Well,
and
you know what they say, well, body in motion stays in motion.
Yeah. I heard it was a commercial, wasn't it?
We've heard about that.
And it's also to find out the way that you enjoy communicating, because different people communicate different ways and they understand different ways. So if you have a mm-hmm. group of people around, if you are a person who likes to write, and let's say you're an introvert or an omnivert, and you have a lot of people around you who like to talk, you may have people who are listening, but they're not listening, or they're not encouraging you to use your best mode of communicating.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So you have to find people who speak your language and understand your language to be affirmed and validated and to have the self-efficacy to do whatever needs to be done next.
Well, you know what? Those are words of wisdom and experience. So, yes, if you don't have that person, maybe you can write to us and talk with us, come chat with us once a month. We're on each month, fourth Thursday. But KJ, you call the show, and I hate to have you call and not get to cover some of your background. I would like to talk. I did watch the information you sent me, and I made some highlights here, and I'd like to share it with our audience if you don't mind. I mean, I'm inferring from what you did is that I can share it, but you did send it, right? I can talk about it here.
Yes.
Because all right, mm-hmm. 6 weeks rather, of an aneurysm from a balloon. I'll let you explain to our audience the balloon to omega and the difference in what that means, but KJ here was close to a ruptured aneurysm that could have killed her. And if it was not for the persistence of her persistence with the doctors, she would not be here. So KJ, would you share with our audience how being strong and willed and determined to be heard, it can save your life, and share your story with our audience, please?
Thank you so much. Yeah. Know your body, know yourself. Know that when there's a change that is continuing to spiral or escalate away from your norm, get checked. And don't just settle with the first answer. And so that was kind of my situation where I just started having these headaches. I knew that I could read. I knew how to do my lessons. I was teaching and I was preparing my lessons. But for some odd reason, I could not get beyond the headaches. And then my vision began to get blurred, and I could not understand what was going on. And I went to the doctors, and basically they were like, you probably need glasses and, allergy medicine and, you know, all these other kinds of things. So I said, but, you know, I have a family history of aneurysms. I said, on my mother's side, my aunt, uncle, and maternal grandfather died of cerebral aneurysms, and my paternal uncle died of an aortic aneurysm. And she said, oh, well, you know, I think you're just, you know, getting a little excited about this. It's not that big of a deal. So I did everything that the doctor requested. And I brought back the data to show that I followed through on everything that she said. And I said, but this is still not working. And, you know, that's where that, when you think of the pain scale, a 0 or 3 to me may be a 7 to somebody else.
It's all relative, exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So trying to get her to the depth of my pain, she couldn't understand it. Because when I walked in the office, and I guess this is just the way my parents taught me, you know, even through pain, I smile. You know, no matter what's going on, I'm always that positive person. We can get it done. We can get it done. We can get it done. And because I didn't go in and, like, fall out on the table.
They misjudged it.
She thought I was
underestimated.
She's like, you know,
right.
Yeah, I don't see anything big. I don't see anything big. You're not acting any different from, you know, the way a typical patient would act. But
that's a good point.
So,
that's an excellent point for our audience. You you have to communicate effectively, because sometimes you don't always, you can't see a brain injury or results of brain trauma or something going on like you're describing. So yes. And then mm-hmm. what happened?
And so after pushing, she wrote a prescription for a CAT scan. And the CAT scan came back, and she said, yeah, well, there's something, but, you know, it's a 4. You know, when we think about aneurysms, we think of a scale of a 0 to a 10, and when it's a 10, it's serious. A 4 is not that big of a deal. And I said, but I still have headaches. You know, it may not be that big of a deal to you, but I still have headaches. So I want to go to the next step. I want to, what's the next
now,
thing I can do?
Now, KJ, let me ask you, what is it they saw that was at a 3 or 4 at this point? What was it in the CAT scan?
She would not tell me. She just only told me that that I did have an aneurysm and it was a 4. She was a general practitioner.
So it's something you can identify it as an aneurysm when it's spotted.
She could identify there was something different on the CAT scan.
Okay.
She could. And so I pushed and she allowed me to get the MRI. And after getting the MRI, I asked, could I please go see a neurologist? So when I went to see the neurologist was pretty much where she was. He said, you know, it's something that we can monitor, but it's, you know, it's not that big of a deal. He said, realistically, he said, I get more concerned when it's closer to the 10. He said, there are 3 stages of an aneurysm, and you really and truly have the first stage. And the first stage just looks like a balloon, you know, a blown-up balloon. And when it's a blown-up balloon, what we will do is we will put a coil in there, release some of the pressure, you know, to stop all the pressure to make sure that it doesn't rupture.
Now, is that done surgically to the point of where the aneurysm is, or does it go throughout some of the orifice in the body? How is that done?
So I'm going to be honest with you. My understanding is that it goes through the groin. The exams that they did went groin, but the surgery that I had was actually a surgery where I don't know. I think they went through my I will tell you this. There was a whole lot of blood like all over the place after my surgery, and my hair was just plastered together, and I lost a lot of hair because it was so clumped together until we couldn't get out all the blood. Wait, but I'm going too far.
Okay. We'll go back to the balloon size to explain the balloon size at the beginning and then to the omega.
And then it becomes an omega. And then the third one is a heart shape, but it's open at the bottom. And that's where, you know, the serious rupture comes in. That's a 10. But all 3 can be addressed through surgery, right? So I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, well, okay, what are you going to do? And he said, well, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to monitor it. So for 6 Fridays, I wound up being back in the ER or at the hospital. So I had an MRI with contrast. I had, you know, I had to stay overnight for exam or, you know, bedpan exam and all. I mean, not bedpan. You know, where they have you hooked up to all the wires and everything. You're bed rest. I guess bed rest. I'm not sure what it is, but you can't move. You can't move. You can't leave the bed. And
okay.
So they just kept doing test after test after test after test. And the only thing that they were saying is, yeah, it's not a 10 yet. You know, it's not a 10 yet. That's the only thing I kept hearing is it wasn't a 10. So on the 6th visit at the hospital, it was an overnight visit, my mom comes in and she looks, and I'm very close to my parents. I'm an only child. My mom comes in and she looks at me and she drops her head. And she couldn't look at me throughout the visit. Like she couldn't talk or to me or anything. So that was about 5 minutes. And I saw the pain in her face when she looked at me. And I'm sorry, I just can't. I can't forget what her face looked like. And so when my parents left, you know, I was like, I want to get out of the hospital. I kept telling the doctor, I was like, how much longer, how much longer, how much longer, how much longer? And so finally they released me. I started looking up trying to find out more about the aneurysm because my doctor refused to do anything until it reached the 3rd, which was when it ruptured. And so they had me in the hospital that night to make sure that it didn't rupture. And so I went home and I started researching, like, what could I do because I had these major headaches. And I looked up aneurysms that rupture, and I found out that there was a 50% fatality rate. And so I asked him, well, could he do surgery? Could he do anything? And his response was no, but he gave me other clinicians that could. And I will, and to this day, I am so grateful to that physician who did not try to be a hero and overextend himself. He said, look, you know what? I would rather send you to hospitals with experts in this field.
Okay, slow down a little bit, because your mother came in with tears. I mean, on virtually to tears. She couldn't look at you. Had she been given some information that you were not? So what was that? What was all that going on?
Well, she knew
I'm
that
a little confused too.
My mom knew that I had a cerebral aneurysm. She knew that her brother, her sister, and her father had died.
The family history. Okay.
So when she came in and saw me, and keep in mind, I'm not a person that's in the hospital. You know, I've been in the hospital once before then. That was it. And, of course, to deliver my kids. So when she sees her active daughter who rides every single roller coaster, who, you know, teaches kids, who has, you know, 15, 20 kids at the house all the time, goes to the amusement park 2 to 3 times a week, you know, aquarium, zoo, whatever. Like, I'm just that go-getter. You know, I'm that one that the kids love to be around because I'm high energy. And so when she sees me in a bed, unable to move, like, she knows that's not me.
Right. So then what's the next step for your doctors? What led to your close call?
So then my doctor, he gave me a doctor in Philadelphia. And I went to the doctor in Philadelphia. I called the doctor in Philadelphia, called at noon on Tuesday. Now, remember, I was in the hospital Friday night because I was 6 Fridays in a row. By that time, I had done my investigation, started looking, et cetera, found a doctor in Arizona because he had recommended my doctor in North Carolina recommended a doctor in Arizona. And my ex-husband said, I think we can find something closer where you don't have to fly. So we contacted the doctor in Philadelphia on Tuesday at noon. F told me, we need to see you tomorrow at 7 a.m. So that night, we drove from North Carolina to Jefferson Hospital in Philadelphia. And Dr. Rosenwasser saw me at 7 a.m. in the morning. And, you know, when I got there, you know, I'm a little vain. I didn't want to have bad breath. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want him to see me, like, stinky or anything. So I went to the Marriott, washed up a little bit, you know, thinking, okay, then we'll go get something to eat. And I'm telling my kids we're going to go get something to eat shortly. I'm not really understanding the severity of this. I'm understanding my headaches, but I'm not understanding really and truly that I could be one of that.
50%.
I could be fatality. Yeah, I could be in that 50%. So when I got to the hospital, Dr. Rosenwasser, I told him that, you know, I was ready to go get something to eat, and I just thought, you know, I was coming in for a nice little nice day, you know, because my hospital visits in the past had been just come in, we'll talk, and, you know, everything's good, now you can go home. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going, everything's going to be good, and then I'm going to go home, right? So I walk in and I talk to him, and he said, no, you cannot go get something to eat. We're actually going to check you into the hospital right now. And he walks out the room, and he tells the nurse or the assistant who's with him that my aneurysm could rupture at any moment. So that was my wake-up call, and I said, okay, well, let me get in the hospital and do whatever they want me to do. When he finished the surgery, he told me that my aneurysm had advanced from a simple coil to a coil and stent, which was the second
phase. But it never actually ruptured?
Well, remember, it's open. When you're doing the Omega, it's still open. It's not a full-blown rupture.
The aneurysm? Right. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, they have to stent it. They have to close it. They have to close it at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then put the coil in.
Mm.
I'd like
so
to see a visual. I need to see a visual of what it looks like. But
think of an Omega, right? So the first
mm-hmm.
one, the very first one is a balloon. So think of a
right.
balloon. A balloon is sitting on a table.
Right.
So how the balloon is closed all the way at the bottom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a table. Now think about an omega. What does an omega look like? It's open at the bottom. Right?
Right, like a horseshoe.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what they have to do in that surgery is they have to push the horseshoe ends together. Push the horseshoe ends together. It's a coil that they put in there.
Hmm.
So you still have then like a stent in the heart for heart? Oh, you have one in your brain then?
Yeah, it's there for the rest of my life.
Did the headache
wow.
stop after the surgery?
Oh, immediately. But the thing is, I was in an abusive marriage, so I needed to get out of the marriage because you got to change the environment. So
wait,
once
you're saying
I
that
left
your
the
environment
marriage,
led to the aneurysm almost rupturing?
No.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure.
So I'm probably not going to answer that question.
Not going to answer that one. But stress, so you're saying the stress ultimately, regardless of how that stress manifests or what causes that stress, stress is you're not your friend when you're dealing with aneurysms because stress could aggravate it or
right,
trigger it.
Right.
So stress
mm-hmm.
is the precursor.
Okay. So whatever stress the stress is cause is, you need to eliminate that stress cause. And that could be work
or
too much partying or whatever causes stress in your life.
Or lack
okay.
of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know people can die from insomnia, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking
oh,
at
yeah.
your VIX thing here. Thinking about trying your VIX idea now. But so you know,
right.
I'm glad that you survived.
I hope listeners listen to this and they go buy stock in VIX real quick.
Well, you know, I'm curious because VIX is such a miracle thing. It does so many different things. But your doctors were on top of things at the end, even though you had to kind of pound the door to get them to listen. I guess the takeaway for our audience then is if you first of all, I made notes here as you were going, is to know your body. Pay attention to your body and know the symptoms that come up. Be able to recognize anything
yeah.
out of the ordinary. And then don't just settle for your doctor saying, oh, it's nothing. Because that could be, you could be in the 50% that did not make it and call into a show like this tonight. The other 50%,
right.
Well, we know what happens to the other 50%. So
and remember,
pay attention to your body.
Doctors are human. There's human error. You know, things are subjective. You know,
well, you know they don't call doctors. They don't call doctors professional physicians. They call them practicing.
Practicing
physicians.
They're practicing medicine. Exactly. They're
so
practicing.
That was
so
good. That was good.
That is
so
accurate.
With
yes.
With human error, you know, the doctor could be having a bad day. The doctor's perception could be challenged. You know, once again, because what I consider a pain. I tell you this, 9 times out of 10, if I'm in pain, you would not know it. You would not know it. So I still smile. I still everything because I just always believe and hope. I always believe that things will get better.
Now, you're
so
communicating. You said that
smiling.
Communicating was a part of the essential thing to communicate. So you when you don't keep that pain hidden, you share it with somebody, right?
Well, yeah. One of the things that I will tell you that I do is, so not all of your associates can handle every single situation. You know, not every friend can handle every situation or every subject matter. So one of the things that I learned early on, and this was after I left my marriage, I'm also a domestic violence awareness speaker. And so I always try to come up with things for my audience to understand. And one of the things that I always tell them is, look, if you call someone, right, and they're busy or they don't understand or they disagree and you do not feel like you have released whatever it was on your plate before you get off the phone, right, call the next person. And if the next person
mm-hmm.
is busy and they don't really take care of, you know, your desire to release whatever's going on, call the next person. And I don't care if you have to call 50 people because, or if you have to go to Walmart and find somebody in the aisle and start talking to them. you will find someone, but you have to be intentional, because the bottom line is you do not want to walk around with that stressor. Because
you know what, Katri, I could take it a step further, and I used to do this. In fact, when I where you are right now, Angela, in California, when I lived in L.A., it was I would go to the beach, Santa Monica, any body of ocean, one of those beaches in the middle of the night where there's nobody, not many people out. I would just scream to the universe, to the top of my lungs, whatever was on my chest, I would just scream into the universe, into the ocean, to the night air, to the sky. And I would feel as if I had spent hours in therapy, weeks, years in therapy from that one experience.
That does wonders. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, that sure does.
It doesn't always require another person. I mean, if you have a person, excellent, even better maybe. But if you don't have anybody, hey, I communicated with the universe, and that was good for me that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you have
KJ,
a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
KJ, yeah, you know, I hope I want you to plug. I want you to let before you leave us. I want you to plug for our listeners your site. Your now what I don't have a note on that. What is it called here? Your new what is it, KJ?
So it's called Forward Life Coaching is my
that's
site.
That's it. Four words. That's it.
Forward Life Coaching, and on the Forward Life Coaching site, I have two sections where I am interviewing people. I actually do YouTube videos right now. I have two interns working with me, and we're going to be transitioning to some more audio items. But basically, my two sections, one is I interview former NCAA athletes for stories of triumph. There are four areas of concern for the NCAA with athletes or higher areas of stress and anxiety. They are finance, injury, branding, and I always forget that fourth one. Oh, communication. So where athletes are challenged a lot, and at the average rate of the anxiety level for athletes, for NCAA athletes, is about 150% to 200% higher than their non-athlete peers. So I have stories of triumphs of how people actually were able to overcome those four items. And then my other section, which I just started, which I haven't really titled, is basically it's about mothers and loved ones understanding symptoms and just that things aren't right. So it's kind of piggybacked off the fact that my mom understood what was going on before I did. But there's another mother who I don't know. God, I wish I could get you guys to her. But her daughter played an instrument in the band, suffered several concussions to the point where she was crawling. And
she was what?
And she was crawling and in the feeble position. I think I sent you her video.
I need to look through my files and find that one. Okay. Well.
Okay. If not, I can send it to you. And then I have another mother who there's stories there. There's stories there of moms or loved ones. I'm sorry, it was a loved one. It was a wife of a policeman who had suffered a baseball hit to the head, baseball blow to the head, and it was actually a bleeding TBI or brain bleed. And she worked at Barrow, the number one hospital for one of the top hospitals for neurosurgeons or neurotherapy, neural rehabilitation. But anyway, the bottom line is he could not get beyond a certain point with regards to speech therapy and recovery. And basically with her work, I think it was like either 4 to 6 months, he was completely recovered, and he's back in as a policeman.
Excellent. And this is in New Jersey or which city, which state, rather?
Philadelphia. I'm sorry, Phoenix, Arizona.
Arizona, okay. All right, we'll give it. What about a website? Is there a website you can give our audience or contact information on Facebook or what is it?
The website information is forwardlifecoach.com.
Forwardlifecoach.com. Lifecoach.com. Okay. Well, KJ, thank you for calling tonight and sharing your story with us. And I hope that our audience gets to, at least to take away to know your body well enough to recognize any unusual or peculiar things that happen and get it addressed immediately and not take no from your doctor. Stand up for yourself. Save your own life. And if you need a family member or a friend to help you, find that person and let that person go with you. So, KJ, thank you so much for calling and sharing.
Thank you, KJ.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we hope to hear from
you
again.
Have a great
night. And thank you. Take care. We'll talk with you soon. Take care. KJ was full of knowledge tonight with paying attention to your body. I guess we take certain things for granted when we hear a doctor say, oh, don't worry about that. We just, well, it's a doctor. I guess he knows or she knows that I shouldn't worry. And we stop. And then we're buried or cremated the next week or two.
Right.
So.
Well, that was a great story. That was very uplifting, encouraging.
Yeah, it certainly makes you pay attention to yourself and pay attention to what your doctors are saying. If your doctors are saying things that don't rhyme with what's happening in your body, you know to find another doctor. Somebody's going to pay attention to what you're experiencing and listen to what you're saying. But
right.
we live and we learn. That's why we have this show, right, Angela? So we can get people awake. Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
All right. Well, I tell you another thing.
Well, I don't mean to cut you short, but I've got to finish packing and spend a little time with my mom before the morning, before I fly back to Orlando. So I just want to say goodnight to everyone, and I will be back next month.
All right. Well, Angela, I'm glad that you were able to join us. I know that you're out helping your mom and celebrating with your mom. I'm glad she's better and hope she continues to get better and better and better. And we give
you
more wings to your angelhood for helping her out so much.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
So safe travels back home.
And,
yes, Angela. Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm still with you. See you, Angela. We're going to stay with you. I'm on the air with you, Terry Smith, your host. And now that we've lost Angela, I'm going to give you more information about who we are. I'm Terry Smith, your host. Angela just left. She's normally with me for the duration, but tonight, under the circumstances, she's not with us anymore. So we're alone together, just all of you and yours truly. And we'd like to thank, from the bottom of our microphone, Kim Justice and Craig Cecilia. Craig is the network, I guess, the executive producer. Kim Justice runs the network. I guess she's the station manager or the co-executive producer. But she also hosts the show on Brain Injury Radio Network. Her show is called Recovery Now. I think she's on Wednesday nights. There's a show on every night of the week on Brain Injury Radio Network, so tune in. You might find a topic that fits your mood or your situation at that moment. We're still taking calls just because Angela has left. You still may call me, your host, Terry Smith. You know the country code, 1, if you're somewhere other than the United States. If you are in the United States, the area code is 424-243-9540. And if you are near a computer and you'd rather type and talk, you can reach us at www.blogtalkradio.com/brain injury radio. And that will bring you to the switchboard chat room. Yes, I can see what you type in here. I'm missing a few of my regulars who like to type as we talk. And I hope you're listening. If you're not typing tonight, that you're at least able to hear what we're communicating and sharing with you. We broadcast on the fourth Thursday of each month between 10 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time. So wherever you are on this planet, this small, small planet Earth and this large, large universe of ours, we're in the sea of space on the East Coast. But if you are somewhere else, wherever you are listening live or to an archived show, we wish you joy, love, happiness, peace, healing. Mostly healing and learning how to live in this world. Because it's not always easy, whether you're a brain trauma survivor or brain trauma person on the outside, someone who loves you, loving a survivor. And if you're a musician with a brain trauma, well, even more fitting. But if you don't have a brain injury, we'd still like to hear your original music. We do play music. In fact, we're going to do that after I go down my list of things I'm going to communicate with you. If you have original music that you wrote, sang, played, produced, and you have the rights and you think it's good, send it to us so that we can play it on air. We love to play original artists' music. In fact, I'm going to play one just after this. So if you are a musician, send us your music and you can type me a letter and send it to our Facebook page, Surviving Head Trauma on Facebook. Or you can write to us on my website, terrysmithbooks.com. That's right. Surviving Head Trauma is a book also. We are not just a podcast, but we are a book that you can order anywhere books are sold. And we are a Facebook page where you can communicate, like we were talking with our guests earlier, KJ and Angela, about communicating. There's a place you can go to that wall and talk about whatever's on your mind and get group support from our other members. So find Surviving Head Trauma in a book on Facebook. You can find us on LinkedIn. And, of course, we are here on the air once a month, each fourth Thursday. So check us out. In one of those places, we might even start a YouTube thing. We're looking into that. We've got a big light for some stuff coming up. So we may look into that. But meanwhile, it's time to jam. We haven't heard any music tonight, so we're going to start with some Rat Bat Blue. We haven't heard them since last month. And let's start with Just You. No, Meanwhile at Home or X. Let's just close our eyes and pick one, see what comes out. How's that? We'll be back after this. This is Rat Bat Blue. Check them out on YouTube. Rat Bat Blue. We'll be back, so don't go far. Listen. We'll talk when we come back. Surviving Head Trauma, Brain Injury Radio Network.
Falling, yet something keeps falling.
Just you. Rat Bat Blue. Check them out on YouTube. They have been around for a long time, and the music will last forever. And the message, everyone will love anyone, you, just you, right? And we are with you, surviving head trauma. And finding that person is not always so easy, but when you do, it can take you through roller coaster rides sometimes. But we've talked tonight with people who tell us that we should communicate. KJ, one of our callers tonight, suggested talking and communicating. That's an excellent thing. But she even herself said that she can smile behind enormous pain. A lot of us do that. We tend to not share some of the things that send us into chaos, and we find ourselves lost in a whirlwind, trying not to fall down the black hole floating in this space we call life. So find some way to communicate it. Get it off your chest. Open up your mind and let your body be free, because otherwise we just float until we die. We don't want to do that. We want to live and be alive. We want to survive. We want to thrive, right? That's what we are doing, living alive and thriving. And covering topics we talked about earlier when we started the show, like the geriatric issue last month. We never closed it, so we're going to continue it. I like this new idea. So if you're listening and you have memory issues and you have an iPhone, you no longer have a major issue. You simply have a controlled thing you have to deal with, and that's using your iPhone. Or if you have a Galaxy or however, whatever phone you have, I'm sure there's an app with a calendar on it. And that calendar can be your life aid. It helps you keep track of day-to-day routines, especially if your memory doesn't work. If dementia is an issue, if you have memory dysfunction because of brain trauma, there's perfect thing here that's going to help us ease into our geriatric days. That's what we were talking about. My sister and I were discussing this weeks ago about old age, right? When you get old, you naturally lose a lot of things like your memory and your sense of smell, your taste, all kinds of things start to wane, start to fade, just kind of disappear. But if you have had brain trauma and practiced the things we're going to cover tonight, you won't have the issues your colleagues, your fellow geriatric members of the ward will. They'll be clueless, but you will have practiced. We will have practiced so long that we will be their teachers. Remember, in this note here, it says that Angela saw the other half. She thought, we're just going to be a wreck. We're going to be a blithering idiots when we're old, right? No, I saw the other half, that we can be the teachers. So together we realize it's about what we do in the present that affects where we end up down the road, should our journey last that long, because you never know when the ride stops. But if it does go longer, we need to be able to hang on, because you don't get lost in that whirlwind and sucked into that black hole. No, not in old age. So our geriatric issue from last month is now resolved. We will call it a closed topic. Take notes. Write notes on paper if you have to. Use your phone if you have one, because it's the golden ticket. If you don't have a phone, come up with some of the creative mechanism. I don't know. Write it on paper. Write it on a postcard. Write it in the sand. No, that doesn't make sense. You write it in the sand, the water will come and blow it away. Write it somewhere. Record it on the, you know what? Before iPhones, I used a digital recorder. Before digital recorders, even in the age of analog, I used a little micro recorder, those little micro cassettes, if you're old enough to go back that far. Yeah, you record that, and it's your lifeline. And then moved it to the digital age, where you can talk into a little thing and stick it into your computer and record it there forever. And now, of course, with the iPhone, you just put it in your calendar, and it's there forever. And you always keep track of your life. It's like a journal. Before all this technology became what it is, writing was the thing. I remember in my book, in fact, you read Surviving Head Trauma, it talks about one of the things that helped in therapy for me was receiving letters from long distance friends. If you remember snail mail, where you put a stamp on an envelope and actually address it, a letter that you've written by hand. Yeah, we would communicate that way. That's how we kept in touch, believe it or not, because we paid something called long distance fees when you called on a landline. There weren't cell phones so abundantly. There were cell phones. They were rare, very, very rare in my lifetime. But I mean, we had a landline, a house phone, and you would call another state, it would cost you money. And in some cities, it would cost you money to call, like in LA, it would cost, you know, if you're in Pasadena and you want to call the beaches, that's a different, you got to pay. So it's a toll. I mean, it's a matter of just being alive then. And now watching the transition, it's so much different. But back then when the phone and the mail, you had paper and pen, so we'd write. In fact, that was a part of my occupational therapy when my body came back to life after my brain trauma and coma. I was to write what I was eating and drinking, what was on my plate, what was in the news broadcast, so that I could train memory. So writing on paper then, even then, as occupational therapy became my road to writing, as I became a professional writer. And if you read the book, you will get the entire story. Or if you follow this podcast, you will hear more and more about my past. But it essentially goes back to what we're talking about, and that's communicating, and that's finding a way to get it off your chest. And I'm taking you way back in time to when we literally wrote things on paper as routine, as you do now, take notes on your phone or type it into your computer. However you communicate. I think KJ nailed it on the head with that one, because that's essential. Like I said, I even with all those technological devices, years ago, I would go to the ocean and just scream at the top of my lungs when it was dark as it could get for that 24-hour period. Peak of darkness, I'd scream to the stars in the sky, all the things in my mind that I couldn't say out loud to anyone alive. I screamed to all the people who passed away from my life, maybe the people I cherished and even the spirits I didn't know, just whatever, heard, listened, and I would feel better. So you don't always have someone. We have that ourselves. And it's essential that we communicate, even if it is with ourselves. I mean, sometimes we don't know what people are going through. We have so many examples of that. I mean, if you're old enough to remember Robin Williams, there's so many other names that we can mention, celebrities, famous people who lived by making other people happy, taking their own lives. So keeping things bottled up isn't always the smart way to go. Sometimes it can be a lethal way to go, because eventually all that's bottled up explodes on the outside, and you fall from demise into that black hole. So let it go. Scream. Hello, 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 hello. Terry Smith here, your host, Surviving Head Trauma. Angela had to leave early tonight, but we still want to see her next month. Join us every month, 4th Thursday, 10 p.m. until midnight. So tonight, if you're listening to us live, give us a call. Area code 424-243-9540. And talk to me live. Press 1 on your phone if you want to break through the switchboard. You're on. See you out there listening. A lot of you are on the phone, but you're not raising your hand. If you want to talk, press 1. Otherwise, I will not put you in the air live and put you on the spot and make you say, I didn't press 1, but it's okay, I'll talk now. I will not do that to you, no. Angela would. If Angela had control of the switchboard, a lot of you who are sitting there listening right now would be put on air live. She wants to do that. Fortunately, she does not have access to the switchboard. I do. So I will not do that to you. So press 1, and I will see an emoji go up. If I'm looking at the switchboard at the time, often I'm reading things that are going on in the other room, in the chat room, not really paying attention to what's to the left of that, and or looking at a different computer where these letters are located, and I don't see the switchboard. So I will get to you when I see that little button go up with your hand raised. So before we get back to our topics of the day that I have on the cell phone under the calendar section for today's show, I will give you a list of places on Facebook where you can communicate with other survivors. There are so many of them on Facebook that you can virtually type in brain trauma and a list will fall into your view. So the list here, I hope, is up to date. I've not verified all of them in recent weeks. I've been preoccupied with my personal life and work so much so that I've not verified this list. So I'm reading to you a list that's from my last visit, which has been quite a while, but check it out on Facebook. Positive Words. That's a group. Another group is TBI Victors, Families and Their Close Friends. Okay. Another group is Life After Brain Injury. And I'll give you two more. We Are All Survivors, and then TBI Insiders. Those are some of the ones that were at the top of their game when I was on the circuit there, but I have not, like I said, verified them. Check it out. Outlets, excellent outlets. And those aren't the only ones. There are literally hundreds of groups on just the internet in general, not just Facebook, but specifically for Facebook, there I know are groups for you to not only communicate with like people, but also families of survivors who might need your input. Something you might share might be the light someone else needs in their darkness. So please share. Sharing is essential. I mean, that's your darkness is someone else's light. I mean, what you have been through and overcome might be the words and experience someone just starting needs to hear. They might need that example of hope, because it's just because we're so familiar with it, right? We've been living with this for some of us 40 years, some of us more, some less, but some of us are just new. I mean, literally right out of the hospital, home for the first time since the accident, and wondering what is going on. What in the hell is happening, man? What is going on? And you remember that day, if you think back, right? Remember when it was new, when it just happened? How scary everything was, how new everything was. You didn't know who people were. So for those of you who are new like that, there's hope. Just don't give up. That's the most important thing. You got to hold on, because if you don't hold on, you will get lost in that whirlwind and that chaos. So hold on, share your thoughts, communicate. And if you are new, if you are one of the new people joining us after your brain trauma, whether it was an aneurysm, a stroke, TBI, whatever your brain issue is, your head trauma is, we start somewhere. And if you're just starting, there is hope, and we are your example, because some of us came awfully close, like KJ. If you were listening earlier, she came within moments of dying, and I, for example, I flatlined twice during brain surgery after my head injury in OCS, Officer Candidate School in the Marine Corps. So, I don't even remember going to this exercise. I lost a month prior to this. So when I woke up from the coma, I didn't know who these people, they were ostensibly happy to see me. My reading all these notes, so I know about this and the testimony from people around me, but I don't remember any of it. And I had to learn all these people were. My mother was one of those people. My sister was one of those people, and family, friends, close family, like family friends were there. And I'm told that I confused all of them. I could not remember their names as they introduced themselves, because I didn't know them and they were strangers to me. So if you're at that stage, we think at that point, why? What the hell, man? But we're here 30-something years later, in my case, and Angela, something similar to that. But we're survivors, man. We hold on. We have a lot of deficits. We overcome a lot. But that's a part of surviving anything, whether you're brain trauma patient, survivor, or just a person trying to make it in this crazy world, man. It's not I don't like to use the word crazy, except, well, it's a crazy world. We don't know what up is anymore. When you're in space, you get the idea that up and down is a matter of where you're looking, because there's no boundary, there's no wall, there's no ceiling or floor. Space is endless and infinite. And if that's the case, this place we're living on, this spaceship called Earth, is floating around with a lot of crazy on it. And we don't know which side is brain trauma and which side is normal, which side is abnormal. It's all merged into one now. Planet Earth is healing, hopefully, slowly, over time. We're watching history repeat itself. It's like the world is on fire, the brain trauma. Planet Earth is that patient, all these people in different directions believing so many different things, some absurd, some not absurd, some rational, some irrational. It's all a thing. It's all a thing. But what we read at the beginning of the show resonates now with us, because we're back to what I read. It says, also in reference to last month's show, it isn't a question of what might kill us or what's bad for us. It's a question of how do we want to live, because everyone is going to die. I think we were talking about cannabis or the health benefits of pharmaceutical drugs and all that. You know, we talk about what might kill us. You know, everybody's going to die. It's simply the moment we take our first breath and we come into this plane of existence, that first inhale, that starts the tick-tock clock, 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 tick-tock, tick-tock. And there's going to be a last exhale one day. It's going to end. So it's not about dying. Everything, everybody, every living organism, all the inanimate things will eventually disappear. It's going to die. So the question is, how do we want to live? How do we want to live while we're alive? And how do we want to sleep at night when it's time to rest the body and mind? So many things going on, so many topics to cover, but we did get some good ideas on how to sleep. Let's get back on track, back on topic for the beginning. Any of my fellow brain injury people know of anything that will help you go to sleep and stay asleep? That's where we started. And we've been all around the world and back. And now we're back. And now look at this. Alicia here comes back to what about, I think, who is this? Sheila, Angela's mother, was talking about. She says, I take melatonin. How about that? We were just saying that on the air. And she says, I take melatonin, but eventually had to add prescribed Ambien because the insomnia I developed post-injury. That's one of the things, yeah. You tend to go one of the two directions, insomnia or sleepaholic. So it's a happy medium to find that middle road. So when you get it, hold on to whatever works for you. So another person says, I'm totally dyslexic from my condition. I think it's funny that somebody go, you know, I don't know how to spell it. I'm not sure. I guess it's typo. We need a producer here to help edit all this before we read a live on air. So another person testifying that melatonin works. CBD and a sound machine for me. Green, LOL. I think John there was saying cannabis. I think it's a cannabis shout for sleeping. Take two, wait 20, turn TV off, says Stanley. Lavender oil. Hey, that's what somebody said tonight. Sheila, I think, brought up lavender oil. Or KJ, Angela, somebody brought up lavender oil earlier. Or sprinkle in your room or machine you put the oil in. Okay. CBD for the nighttime, melatonin with magnesium, 5 milligrams. CBD, pot. I have a shot of whiskey at night. Even though it's not recommended for minors. Okay, Wayne is laughing and LOL after that. Okay, we've got a lot of people. I see melatonin checking in a lot here, a long list of melatonin. And I take Benadryl. So there's a long list here of natural things and and over-the-counter things. So we try here, let's see, try over-the-counter sleep gummies and drink sleepy time tea in evening before resorting to addictive pharmaceuticals. That's John. John and I are on the same page, right? I try to stay away from pharmaceuticals, but sometimes you can't help it. You need it. I tried to do some medication maneuvers with my doctor's aid under the direction of my neurologist, and found that I could not completely remove some of my medication because I just needed some of that pharmaceutical drug in me to keep seizures under control and my brain somewhat stable, not flying all over the place. And then we found a compromise. It was simply a matter of reducing the medication and combining it with more other holistic things, drugs, other holistic plants, other holistic teas and other herbs. So another person says, when I was in rehab hospital after my accident, I was on trazodone. I've been out of rehab for 2 years and 9 months. So another one here, melatonin. Yes, after brain injury, I was prescribed melatonin and it worked. So that's a big popular one here, melatonin. And trazodone, here's another person. I was given trazodone, and that helps me go to sleep and stay asleep. So to the person who started this question, this line of questioning here, I hope we've answered your question. There's a list, long list. A lot of people have actually tuned in and hopefully given you an answer that might work for you. So I hope that we've answered that question well enough for you. If you have any other home remedies that you'd like to share, give us a call. Again, the phone number is country code 1, area code 424-243-9540. And for those of you who are listening already on the switchboard, I see you. I see you there. We can press 1 if we want to add to the conversation and speak live. So we will now listen to another word from the Brain Injury Association of America, BIAUSA.org. We'll be back in 33 seconds.
Imagine not knowing the difference between a hairbrush, a toothbrush, or a paintbrush, or forgetting which goes on first, your shoes or your socks. More than 2.5 million children and adults sustain traumatic brain injuries in the United States each year. If you or someone close to you has experienced a brain injury, you're not alone. Get the help you need today. Call the Brain Injury Association at 1-800-444-6443 or on the web at BIAUSA.org.
That was a cheering crowd. Yay, BIAUSA.org, BIAUSA.org, BIAUSA.org. If you are new, or even if you've been around this community for a while and need some assistance in your community, check out the website and then find a local chapter near you. They have some office or some person in usually every city, most cities. If not your city, a city near you, I'm sure. So check them out, BIAUSA.org. They do so much for us, not just helping us when we're trying to understand what brain trauma means. When we're new to this, it's such a maze, such an incredible maze. They help you guide yourself through the maze. But they also help in our political realm and legislation, because there are so many things happening in the political world around our lives, about our lives, about people who live with trauma in the brain, in the head. So there are people who fight for the right to live even after brain trauma. And that includes, not limited to, but certainly one of our four forward-moving people groups, Brain Injury Association of America. Hope you're still awake if you're listening live, and if you're listening to an archive show, that you tune in live next time and give us a call. Talk about something, whatever's on your mind. That's what we do on this show. On Surviving Head Trauma, we talk about whatever you bring, because because you are the show. We talk about anything brain trauma related or life related, because essentially life related is brain trauma related. Anything in life is related to brain trauma, and anything in life exists. So anything you want to talk about, really call and talk about on the show. It's a country code 1, area code 424-243-9540. We love the fact that you're listening, but we really like to talk with you. So press 1. I see so many people listening, but no one wants to speak. That means I'll play music for you, because talking alone makes me want to read notes to you. All right, before we play music, that's what we'll do. I'll read some of the notes we have here. We'll read some more notes about, and I'll choose the topic. Let's pick one here. We have, how do you sleep and stay asleep at night? Let's take that one out of the queue. And there's was, does tinnitus make you feel anything? Done with relative for making fun of TBI scars. How do you handle rage? Mind bouncing from place to place. Hey, there's a good one. Let's open that one and see what's in that folder. What I do is I collect these letters and put them in different topics in the folders. And this one says, has anyone found a way to slow down your mind and stop it from bouncing around from subject to subject? Okay. Well, how do you stop your mind? This is what Angela. Angela, where are you? Hey, I know you're packing, right? KJ, where are you? Everybody's gone tonight. Where is Sheila, hey, anybody have any ideas here? How do you stop your mind? Look at me. I'm jumping around the place looking for different people. No one's in here. I'm the only one in the studio tonight. So let's see. All right. The first person says, how do you stop your mind from jumping around? The first person here says, Michelle, she says, I play video games sometimes to stop my mind. So I would say a hobby you really like, throw yourself into it, should help. Sound like generic advice, but it works for me. I don't think that sounds generic. I think it's a great idea, Michelle. You're right. If your mind jumps around from place to place to place, place to place, if you anchor it, that makes sense. Find a hobby. Find something to focus on. And that, I know, you're right. Well, if I could focus on something, my mind wouldn't jump from place to place to place. Yeah. I know. But you got to start somewhere. So start writing a letter. Start writing. I mean, I go there. That's my go-to place because, I'm a writer. That's what I do. And I write. And I first write nonsensical stuff. Just write just crazy words. Just word after crazy word until the words start forming into sentences and the sentences start turning into ideas and the sentences turn into paragraphs. And before you know it, you're focused. At least that's my thing. Everyone has to find his or her thing. Because we all find and learn and work our situations out differently. But the idea, the takeaway there is to find something to submerge yourself in, to lean on, to lean into, and find a focus. All right, let's read some more. All right, we have, I play a lot of Zelda games. I'm not sure what that is. Old to new. I also play old games in my super and regular Nintendo, like Donkey Kong, Mario, Mario Kart. I'm not familiar with the game, so if you are familiar with those names, maybe game will help you focus your hopping mind. Hopping, as in like a little bunny rabbit hopping from place to place to place to place. That mind can do that. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Let's flip the page here. In this case, press the mouse button, flip the page. Yeah, you are right. Tough to look at people's lives that seem perfect. Gets to me too. Because my life is a mess right now, but I try to tell myself that people don't show their problems, and everyone has problems. All right, so I'm not sure how that fits into your mind from jumping from place to place. But what I get from that, what it says, is my life is a mess right now. If I try to tell myself that people don't show their problems. Yeah, we were just saying that earlier about people holding things in, bottling things up. So we explode. So yeah, I'm not sure how that keeps you focused, but it's in the response list. So the next person says, keeping myself busy and or stimulated, not always sexual. Huh. Okay. Mindful meditation. How to keep your mind focused. I definitely still do that. There's still a lot going on in my head. I can't quite quiet it down. I have my meds for that. It helps, but I still get anxious about lots of stuff. I take medication, but sadly it don't work. Nope. I feel like a pinball machine a lot of the time. Coloring. Let's see. That's it. So let's listen to that. I'm sure Angela would have a funny answer for us. Something outside of the box. She'd like to think outside of the box. So let's go back a page. All right, enough of this. You know, I'm going to save this for next month and share this with her and see what she comes with. How do you keep your mind from bouncing around the place to place to place? All right. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do in the last 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes left for the show. So the last 15 minutes, we're going to play another song from an original artist, original recording given to us by Cindy Cook. She gave us permission to play this song on the air. And you should check her out on YouTube, Cindy Cook, C-Y-N-D-I. C-O-O-K, Cindy Cook, Rise to the Occasion. We see you in 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Rise to the Occasion, Cindy Cook. We'll be right back. Rise to the occasion. That's right. Rise to the occasion. That's what we have to do. And that's Cindy Cook right now on Surviving Head Trauma with Terry Smith, your host, and Angela, but she's not here with us right now. But Cindy Cook, thank you for that song. You still sing it like nobody else. Check her out on YouTube, Cindy Cook with a Y. C-Y-N-D-I-C-O-O-K. Cindy Cook. Rise to the occasion. And that's what we have to do after surviving a trauma. We have to rise to the occasion. Otherwise, we get left behind. And sometimes we want to leave ourselves behind because it's not easy. We remember those days because we write things on paper. And that's what you start doing now if you're new. And if you're old, reach out to someone who's new. Do something to help, because not everybody is able to reach back and help. As you know, if you've lived with this long enough, you've been around long enough, you've seen, you know that if you survive, you don't die on the scene or later that night or the next day, that some people don't speak again ever. Many do end up in a bed, not realizing they're virtually dead. They don't realize they're alive. We know what it could have been like. So if you are alive tonight and walking and talking and doing something, maybe focusing on someone else or helping other people could be your mind balancing thing that keeps you from bouncing around and around from hoppy, hoppy, hoppy little rabbit mind. To putting some of that to exercise, helping those who are so mind blown by what's happened to them that they don't know where up or down is. I mean, neither do we. We've already talked about that, but at least give them some help to hope, because ultimately that's all you have in the beginning is hope, because otherwise you think it's going to be like this forever. And that's a horrible place to be, not knowing who the hell are these people around me. Who are these people? Wonder, who are these people? I just, walking up to me, telling me who they are, telling stories I don't remember, talk about things I don't know. Oh, man, you don't want to go. You don't want to go anymore. We know, right? We know. So help somebody who's been there. Let them know that one day they can turn around and help somebody, because they will grow so much that they will surprise themselves if they hang around long enough. But somebody isn't always there. When we were there 30 years ago, who do we have, huh? If you had somebody, you're a lucky person. I had family. I mean, I didn't know who these people were, but my family, doctors, nurses, all these people, strange. You know, you eventually learn. It comes back slowly, but in the beginning, there's nothing like it. And if you don't know. You can't fathom this. You can't possibly fathom this unless you've been through this. So that's why they need not just a therapist or a doctor or somebody who's clinically approaching their needs. They need somebody, they ideally would be blessed to have somebody share with them stories of success, a model that they might mirror, that they too will one day walk with light and not be lost in that oh so dark place of not knowing who anyone is, even who you are, knowing who your own mind belongs to, who you can you imagine, remember who am I, who the hell am I, what brain injury, what do you remember that? And if you went long enough, you hopefully overcame a lot of the pain, right? Some of the pain you never get over, just the heartbreak. Mind gone tragically fast into concrete tends to break a heart too. Lives change, careers end, relationships die. All kinds of things happen that we don't see on the outside. Somebody walks into a room. We talked about that earlier tonight. Looking at my notes here, not feeling alive, somebody not paying attention to them, not hearing what they were saying. You know, you appreciate so much after you come back to life and realize that you're going to be okay one day. especially when you can see someone who's been where you are, and you can see them down the road. And that's what we are. When we talk to new people, we're their light at the end of that tunnel, because we have to let them know. We must let them know that they are fortunate. Because as we know, a person dies from brain trauma every 12 minutes or so in this world. So if we're here listening, whether live or archived, we are grateful for that privilege, and we will share that fortune with others, the new people in our world. And that will cover a lot of the bases we discussed tonight. How do you sleep at night? How do you make your brain stop hopping like a rabbit, like a bunny rabbit from place to place to place? How do we deal with rage? We didn't get into that too much tonight, but it was discussed a little bit. So all of those topics tend to come back to the same thing. All we need to do is find a focus, and that focus is something that makes us passionate. And one thing for sure, if we're here, we can find passion with sharing our stories, if they are where we are in a position to uplift someone, because we're all still going through something. We're never completely over something, so much so that we're in a position now to speak from royal authority. No, we're still wearing the pain. We still wear the things. In fact, a lot of us write, a lot of us communicate to help other people, and then use our own materials to help ourselves out of the case that we're going through, whatever situation. So when you help other people inadvertently, you counter help yourself, counter punch with the return of help. So reach out and help someone. If I had a singing voice, I'd sing a Diana Ross song right now. No, technically I could not, because we're on air live, and I could technically be sued. I don't have her rights to play that song. That's why I'm reeling this back in. If you are an artist with music, original rights, and can let us play it on air, let us listen. If you'd like it, we will play it and give you some airtime. But we are reeling in this show tonight from my studio at my house in the United States of America, Florida, wherever you are. I hope you come back next month and listen to us live with your voice input to the show by calling, pressing 1 on your phone, and speaking to us live. So don't forget, until we speak with you next month, check us out. Read my book, Surviving Head Trauma by Terry Smith. Visit us on Facebook. Again, Surviving Head Trauma. And if you want to read more, see more, visit www.terrysmithbooks.com. That's my website. You'll see all kinds of things in there. It's Terry Smith Books, but it's more than books, too. It's plays, it's short stories, it's links to all the episodes we've ever done for this broadcast. We have place in there to actually order the book. Surviving Head Trauma is not my only book. I've written a few books, and you'll also read about my history of working in film and television in Los Angeles, which is where Angela is tonight. So if you usually hear her voice and miss it tonight, it's because she is helping her mom celebrate her birthday and heal from eye surgery. So she'll be back with us next month. Angela, thank you for participating with us for the first hour. It was a pleasure having you. And also our call-in guests tonight, Sheila and KJ. Don't forget to visit KJ's website. It's forwardlifecoach.com. And you will find an inspirational woman. KJ Kelly Jones is a survivor of an aneurysm herself. She came pretty close. If you were on the air with us or listening earlier, you heard her story. If not, visit the site and check her out. She's an inspiration. She's one of the ones who gives back. So you be that person too who gives back. And if you're new, keep tuning in. We'll be here for you. Write to us, call us, talk to us. We'll be here for you. So until next month, remember, we're surviving head trauma. Not just us, but the whole planet. Floating around in space, this big, vast sea of time and energy. Until next month, remember. Good night, and we'll see you next month. Don't forget, fourth Thursday each month. Good night, and it's a wrap.